Thank you, Chad. I'd like to thank the organisers of this session for having me speak. But before I do that, I'd like to pay my respects to the Bunja Nuga people of this land and their culture, which is, as James reminded us, is the longest living continuous culture in the world. So what I'm going to present is really a composite of what has already been said and some things from the HIV summit and how I see things moving. And of course, none of this work can be done without significant input from the people who've already been affected by this epidemic. So mine is very much a technical approach. And of course, all of this stuff needs to be fleshed out in a much larger way. This is what came out of the summit in Port Moresby. They talked about HIV and related diseases like TB and STIs being a being an emergency in PNG, and it feels like that. I mean, there's a lot of people affected, and you saw Dr. Boas's slide. You know, 140,000 people diagnosed with STIs. Remember, we're talking about syndromic management. So syndromic management is only the tip of this enormous triangle. They also talked about rapid increase access to HIV testing and linkages to care and treatment. And that's what I'm going to concentrate on. At our last mentoring workshop, Margaret, who is a health worker from the CPIC, actually had this very nice T-shirt on. And that's essentially what it's about. And in their province, they're thinking very hard about how to get people tested and linked into treatment. So Dr. Boas has already shown you one of these, and I'm going to concentrate on the first 90%. So it means we have to find 3,500 positive people in order to get to that first 90%. And how do we do that? We need to test everywhere. Currently, we have counselling and testing, which is limited to a few individuals in a few locations. And we are hampered by, I'm not quite sure how to put this, by the colonization of this space, you know, by ancient knowledge. I mean, you know, we don't have to have two-hour pre-test counselling and post-test counselling sessions in clinics. It's not worthwhile. It's a waste of time. People don't have that much time to spare. We need to really just have a pre-test discussion like we do in the rest of the world. Think about how we do our HIV HIV testing, pre-test discussions in this country or in other countries. And, you know, that's what we should be saying. We should not be exporting this kind of ideology to countries which have epidemics like PNG. So we need to test everywhere. If you take just the antenatal clinics, only a small proportion of people are being tested. But more crucially, it's men as well who are presenting at these clinics with their partners. And as you can see, their prevalences are much higher than the overall antenatal prevalence for PNG. 300 babies were born in 2018, and this year I think a lot more are going to arrive. So we have some really, really, really easy targets. We've got the TB clinics, we've got the STI clinics. Why aren't we testing all the people who are presenting there? I know we've talked, Dr. Milan has talked about stockouts of test kits. Yes, we need a lot of test kits. Remember, if we're going to test 250,000 women in the antenatal clinics, we need that many testing kits. You know, and at the moment, because of financial constraints, we don't have enough test kits. As John said, you know, we also need to link people into care. It's no good just testing them. And the Catholic Health Services and the Department of Health and PNG Sexual Health Society have actually shortened the conventional HIV prescribing course. It used to be 2 weeks of theory and 2 weeks of practical, and we've cut it down to 1 week. We could simplify it even more. HIV is not that complicated. We'd like to make it complicated, but it's not that complicated on a population level. But of course, there is some complexity, and so we've set up some HIV complex case management courses, so people can be referred to these more advanced prescribers who can deal with the complexity. But if we're going to shorten the courses, they need support, and that's ASHM and PNG Sexual Health Society and other people have developed a mentoring course as well in PNG, and we've put through a lot of mentors to try and sort of strengthen the whole system. Again, you know, we have to make these services available everywhere. That's the only way we're going to manage to get, you know, from 27 or 28,000 people to 38,000 and beyond. Remember, we, you know, diagnosing between 2 and 5,000 new cases every year. Right? Now, we also need to talk about STIs, and we need to move beyond syndromic management. Syndromic management is great, but it's got a use-by date, and then we're way past it now. We can't detect asymptomatic STIs. If we're talking about the key populations, a lot of the infections in the throat and the anorectal area tend to be asymptomatic. The syndromic treatment has poor positive predictive value. Yet we insist on doing this over and over again, not only in PNG, but also in other parts of the Pacific. There is a lack of antimicrobial susceptibility testing, and there are limited opportunities for routine surveillance. You know, the Department of Health can only get back what is actually filled in the forms. So I think that 140,000 is really an estimate. Often when I go to clinics and we're talking to people, they're actually seeing a lot more than they're actually putting down on paper. The other reason for poor outcomes with syndromic management is that there are limited opportunities to find and treat sexual partners with appropriate medication. Now, if we had diagnostic services, we could make the correct diagnosis. And we have the technology. We have the gene expert machines, which are everywhere. And we use them in the IBBS. Why not roll them out? They're available for viral load testing. So, and if we could do that, we could also use expedited partner therapy. We now have oral therapies for gonorrhea that we could actually use. If a partner is diagnosed with an STI, we can give the we can give that person medication to give to their partners. So how do we do this? Clearly, we need an infrastructure to deliver reproductive and sexual health services. We need to understand the complexity. It's not just about the penis and the vagina. You know, other orifices are being used, and yet a lot of our guidelines are actually quite focused on heterosexual activity. The recent guidelines, however, have tended to move away from this, but they still talk about it in terms of syndromic management. We'll need a mixture of general and specialist clinics. And we used to have one of these, Poor Support, which was defunded a couple of years ago. And they were doing a lot of, they were working with sex workers, they were working with men who had sex with men and a whole range of other populations. We need lab services. You can't manage STIs. You can manage HIV without significant lab services, but you can't manage STIs, right? And condoms. The priority number two in the summit was condoms. But the question you have to ask is, do condoms really work? The evidence on a population level is that they don't actually reduce, the prevalence of STIs. Yes, scientifically, there's evidence that condoms work. But actually, when you look at the Cochrane collaborations, the evidence is limited. Now, that may be a design issue. It may be the way the meta-analysis is done. And I'm not really clever enough, but I'm just going by some of the conclusions of these. So in summary, we need to simplify HVI testing and linkages into care at all levels in the public health system. And, this was recognized at the summit and was mentioned. We need to improve our testing rates of HIV in the antenatal clinics, where STIs and TB are diagnosed. And we could do this by having better counseling techniques and linking people into care straight away. I mean, in the TB clinics, for instance, in 2017, they trained a lot of TB officers to provide care, HIV, antiretrovirals, but it didn't go anywhere. We need to revise the sexual health strategy and move away from syndromic management. I know there are costs involved, but I think it's possible to persuade donors to construct some of these things. And we need a coordinated approach to HIV, TB, and STIs. It just can't be silos anymore. And I'll just remind you once again what was said at the summit. Thank you.